We're going to talk all things NHL. Our good friend, Darren Dreger, joining us from TSN. Dregs, how are you?
Doing well, Jason. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. How's the, let's get to the serious things. How's the outdoor rink looking?
Buddy, it's never been better. In fact, I've moved, which shocked a lot of people. So I don't actually have the artificial rink anymore. I sold that off, and we moved to a bigger property, which happens to include a nice fancy pond in the backyard.
And, awesome.
So it's au naturel, but we love it. It's spectacular.
Yeah, that's the best. My brother-in-law, they have the big acreage, and he has a rink that is literally the half size of a hockey rink. It's unbelievable.
Awesome.
And it's outside, and it's all flat. It's we played there at Christmas time, and it's three boys. I'm like, man, this is like a rink. This is just as good. He practices out every day. I love it. It's great.
Any scraps?
No, well, you know, supposedly the 10 and the 12-year-old get at it every now and then, you know.
I see, anytime I think of backyard hockey in Western Canada, I think of the Sutter family.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the battles that must have been out there, and not over the score.
Never.
Rich was elbowing Ron in the head, and I'm sure Daryl was getting pummeled by Brian, and on it goes.
Oh, it'd be great, Dad. Usually Mom comes out, though, and settles it down pretty quickly. So, well, hey, speaking of fighting, I you know what? I've had a few sources say that, you know, this Evander Kane thing, this is just obviously kind of the last piece of it, but that there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes, you know, arguments and potential, maybe even, you know, pushing matches and different things amongst teammates. What are you hearing? You know, how much of an issue is this between Kane and his teammates?
Well, I don't know that, you know, there's been anything physical that has transpired, but, you know, my sense is that Evander Kane does have some friends inside that room, but he also has some enemies. And, you know, one thing that I know about the Winnipeg Jets this year is that, you know, their success isn't unlike what's going on in Calgary, in that there's a culture that's been developed there based on work ethic and the obvious chemistry that, that certain players have. So when, you know, a rogue wants to push outside that comfort zone, that sanctuary of the dressing room, then that affects the team. And that isn't going to be handled well by the leaders on any team. And in this case, it's Evander Kane and the Winnipeg Jets. So I think, as Aaron Ward said on SportsCenter tonight, you know, there was a clear message send in, you know, his teammates firing his clothes into the shower. I mean, that's age-old trickery, right? Some would call it bullying, I suppose. But it's you know, that's kind of what goes on inside a room when you're trying to crack somebody back in the line. And, you know, Kane didn't handle it very well. You know, he stormed off, apparently. And, you know, the Jets had trouble hooking up with him, and they finally got to him. And by then, it was too late. He was on his way to the rink, and, you know, a representative of the Winnipeg Jets said, "Don't bother. It's so late now." And I think at that point, you know, Kane may have disclosed that, you know, he was also dealing with an injury, which brings us to the present, and he's placed on IR. And, you know, there's a lot of trade speculation in between.
How is Kane perceived around the league? Because when you look at just the tools, a player, big, strong winger who can skate and shoot and score, and will fight every now and then, like he's really a power forward who has scored 30 goals once, Darren, but that was a few seasons ago. Every team I know will try to buy low, but what's the sense you get from other GMs on the value of Evander Kane?
Well, you described it. You know, the vast majority of the managers who I believe would have interest that I've talked to describe him in a similar fashion that you did. You know, he's a power forward, minus the fact that, you know, his hands are a little sketchy this year. So he's not a pure power forward in that sense. But, you know, they don't buy into the headlines. They're not getting caught up in all the drama that is swirling around this organization and has since he was healthy scratched on Tuesday. What they see is the potential in this kid. He's 23 years old. He's a comfortable cap hit at 5.25 for the next 3 years. And they see him as a valuable piece, especially the contending teams. And, you know, so Anaheim is going to have interest in Evander Kane. No question about that. The Vancouver Canucks will have interest. You know, bring the hometown boy back. You know, you look in the East, you've got the likes of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Boston Bruins, both contending teams. They're going to want to take a crack at Evander Kane. Maybe the Montreal Canadiens, although from a Canadian perspective, and you can appreciate this, Jason, you've got the fishbowl aspect to all of this. Mm-hmm. And if Evander Kane finds it tough to do whatever he wants to do in Winnipeg, well, that's magnified when you go to Toronto or you go to Montreal or you go to Vancouver. That's just the way it is in Canada. But, you know, there is a strong, strong appetite, provided he's healthy. You know, we might learn in a day or two that Kane needs surgery and that he's done for the year. And, you know, then we'll shelve this trade conversation anyway until the offseason.
Darren Dreger from TSN joins us in Toronto. Darren, Randy Carlyle clearly was not the only issue for the Toronto Maple Leafs. 1-10-1 since he got fired. Ray Ferraro said it earlier. He feels that the players look at Peter Horchak as a substitute teacher and don't necessarily respect him very much. What are you seeing and what are you hearing? Which Toronto Maple Leafs are most likely to gain serious interest between now and the deadline?
Well, the problem for the Toronto Maple Leafs is, you know, their best players are their depth players and they're pending unrestricted free agents. You know, we've talked more about, you know, Daniel Winnick and Mike Santarelli in this season than ever before in the history of their careers. And I have great respect for Daniel Winnick and Mike Santarelli. But when they're your best players, you've got a problem. You know, the top end guys for the Toronto Maple Leafs have checked out. They have just checked out, and maybe that's because of what Ray has suggested. You know, they just don't see, you know, the future and the direction from Peter Horchak. I don't know, but that's a decent staff. You know, Steve Spott, who's assisting Horchak, is going to be an NHL head coach. So it's disappointing, I think, from a professional standpoint, that these guys aren't responding in a better fashion. And that leads us to ongoing trade speculation. I highly doubt that Dave Nonis is going to be able to move one of those big pieces from his core, you know, between now and March 2nd. Those are tough deals to make, as you know. You know, and I'm talking about Fanoff. I'm talking about Kessel. I'm talking about Bozak or even Joffrey Lupul. I think if you're moving those pieces, that's more likely, you know, on the draft floor or in the summer. So, you know, the trades that you're going to see Nonis make in the days ahead here are going to be moving Winnick out, moving Santarelli out. And he's meeting with David Poile tonight in Nashville. So, you know, I got to believe that Cody Franson is going to be the primary target of that conversation. So I'm sure offers will trickle in the days ahead.
Do you see Dave Nonis being the GM at the start of next season?
Well, I do, unless Brendan Shanahan philosophically shifts. I mean, every time you ask Shanahan, you know, not necessarily specific to Nonis, but whether or not they share the same, you know, value direction. And he says yes. So I think that, you know, Nonis, although he has autonomy in his contract to make trades and make hockey decisions, you know, he's not making any of those trades or decisions without talking to Brendan Shanahan first. And I don't get the sense that there's any sort of rift between the two of those. But, you know, the Leafs hired Mark Hunter from the London Knights of the Ontario Hockey League, a highly respected manager at that level. You know, this guy's got a keen eye for talent. You know, is he the next general manager, as some wonder, of the Toronto Maple Leafs? You know, Nonis still has term left. And you're still going to require a hatchet man, too. Mm-hmm. You know, this team is going to go through some growing pains, you know, in the months and years ahead, because inevitably they're going to have to overhaul this roster. I don't think that there's any doubt of that. And, you know, so do you bring in a fresh mind to do that? Well, maybe, but I think Mark Hunter is going to have enough on his plate focusing on the draft and the development of some of the young players that they're going to need in the future.
Darren Dreger joins us from TSN. Darren, I know, I think it was about 3 weeks ago or a month, mentioned that, you know, Craig McTavish might at least be open to listening to offers for Taylor Hall potentially. You know, he's banged up a little bit with a bone bruise right now. A trade like that, I don't think would happen before the deadline. Outside of Jeff Petrie, do you see any other orders being moved?
Well, there's not a lot of names out there. You know, I've been asked about, you know, guys like Boyd Gordon, Hendricks, Andrew Ferentz, believe it or not, although he's got the no move and, you know, as captain of the team, maybe that's a tough deal to make again in season. Off season, I think that, you know, anything is possible. But Petrie's name is the most obvious, and that's the one that's generating the most buzz out of Edmonton. But, hey, we know what the top priorities still are. And it's a goaltender, although goaltending has been a bit better, you know, since the change. And it's a defenseman, and then, you know, move down the list from there. But that's why I'm a little curious. I can apply this to Cody Franson and the Toronto Maple Leafs. I know they're pending unrestricted free agents, but when you're generating as much interest as you are in certain players, maybe you need to sit down and think about whether or not that player is a good fit with the team that he's with. And because of that, maybe you have to spend a bit more to take them away from unrestricted free agency. But, you know, Petrie is definitely a name that a lot of teams are talking about.
The value of Jeff Petrie to me is interesting. Like, I was comparing him, Anton, like, as a free agent. Anton Strahlman, $4.25 million. He was a similar type defenseman on a Stanley Cup finalist team. Jeff Petrie, you know, not his fault, but the team he's played on is terrible, basically, since he's been in the NHL. Yeah. Would he get Strahlman-like money, do you think? And
probably.
What do you think he would get at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to come in that vicinity. I mean, that's generally what managers and agents do is look for comps, right? And that seems to be about right. You know, when you go on unrestricted free agency, I mean, you're getting overpaid. That's especially if you're a defenseman who still has, you know, a ton of promise. And you're, you know, again, you're paying in both term and money on the potential of that. As for the deadline, again, you know, we're inside 4 weeks now, which doesn't seem like a lot of time. But from a manager's perspective, particularly the seller, that's a lot of time. You know, a week ago, Cody Franzen was likely going to fetch a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs think that they can get at least a low first-round pick mm-hmm. for Cody Franzen and maybe something else. So, you know, again, looking for comparables, you know, maybe Jeff Petrie fetches second round or a bit better.
What about the fact that, you know, this year you look in the East and really the eight playoff teams right now, maybe there's a collapse between now and the deadline, but they kind of seem solidified. Yeah. There's going to be more sellers, and I wonder if that waters down the market.
It could. I think you're 100% right when you look at the you know, the buyers and the sellers in the Eastern Conference especially. You know, is there going to be some jostling in the top eight? Sure there is. But, you know, unless there's a collapse, it looks highly unlikely that the Florida Panthers are going to find their way in. There's a lot of buzz around the game right now. There's a lot of talk, but clearly there's not a lot of action. And sometimes what is required is one piece to go. And, you know, maybe that's Antoine Vermette. You know, maybe it's Cody Franzen. Maybe it's Tyler Myers of the Buffalo Sabres. Who knows? But as soon as one domino falls, then the others will likely fall in line. And I think that applies also to the contenders. You know, give Jim Rutherford of the Pittsburgh Penguins some credit here. You know, he got his shopping out of the way early. I don't think he's done yet. I think that he'd be one of the primary guys in on Evander Kane. But that's got to make Picciarelli and the Boston Bruins a little nervous as well, and maybe other teams in both the East and West. So, you know, if a piece like that falls and a contending team gets that piece, then you're going to see some activity as the other teams try to follow suit.
Darren Dreger from TSN joins us. Dregs, a few other quick ones for you. You look at the Eastern Conference, and, you know, the Metropolitan Division is extremely tight. Pittsburgh, the Islanders, the Rangers, and Washington all within 4 points, give or take a few games in hand. Is there a team, and I, you know, and I look at cap space, and obviously some teams are hampered more than others, but like Chicago, to me, it's now or never with Kane and Taves' contract kicking in next year. I would think that they believe this is their final real push. What about one of those Eastern teams? Like, do the Detroit Red Wings, do they feel if they can get a deep run that increases their chance of keeping Mike Babcock?
Well, that's the way they feel now. They obviously didn't feel that way a couple of months ago. You know, the fact that the Detroit Red Wings are where they are in the standings is shocking to most around that organization. You know, this was supposed to be a transition phase for that team. You know, they were thinking that some of these younger players were going to require more time. They thought defensively that they needed to for sure add a piece. And, you know, we've talked a lot over, you know, the past year plus about their need for a right shot defenseman. But Holland has been incredibly patient, and his patience is being paid off. Now, you know, is it going to be sound enough, you know, for Mike Babcock to say, look, this team is way better than I expected they'd be, and because of that, I'm not leaving and I'm buying in? Really, really hard to say. But the sense that I've been given, you know, from those close to that situation all along is that, you know, Babcock wants to win another Stanley Cup. Well, the Detroit Red Wings right now are as safe a bet, certainly from the Eastern Conference, as anyone. You know, how can you possibly count that team out? So if they go deep enough in the playoffs, and wow, if they manage to get back to that Stanley Cup final, now that puts pressure back on Mike Babcock, because all along he said this isn't about money. It's more about opportunity. Well, if opportunity to win isn't in Detroit, then where is it?
That's very true. That, to me, Mike Babcock, Greg, I've heard some rumblings, and I don't know if you've heard the same, that part of him feels like he owes it to the coaching fraternity to test the free agent waters, because a lot of times, you know, the best coaches, they stay in their franchise, you know, they get a little bit of a raise. But if he went on the open market, I think the highest paid coach now is 2.75. Like, he could get 4.5 to 5, couldn't he?
Yeah, he probably could. He probably could. But, you know, the problem that Babcock may have is, you know, the team or teams that are offering that kind of money, and I'll speculate and say Toronto and Philadelphia, aren't teams that he's going to be able to win on. No. Not anytime soon. So, you know, unless the Anaheim Ducks fall on their face and they decide that, you know, they need to replace Bruce Boudreau and they take a swing at Mike Babcock, or, you know, I don't predict that this could happen in Pittsburgh, but, you know, a team like that or a team like the Boston Bruins makes an unthinkable change, you know, then those are the teams that maybe have the perfect mix for Babcock, where, you know, he maybe gets his term, gets his money, and on top of that, you know, inherits a winning lineup. But that's going to be really, really, really tough. And the negotiation in Detroit may not be over either. I mean, Detroit is comfortable at coming in at 4 or 5 years at better than $3 million. But I'm not sure the Ilitch family is going to want to invest $4 million+. You know, regardless, Babcock's going to get a good bump, and the coaching fraternity will as well. It's just a question of how much.
Well, Dregs, we're within 4 weeks of the trade deadline. Should be lots to talk about. The Evander Kane situation, definitely be one I know we'll be following. Everybody can watch you on TSN. Keep reading your stuff. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you.
All right, Jason. Thanks for having me.